So, Niners played without Christian. They played with pieces of Brandon Ayuk. Scored 32, 8 straight drives, but 6 of them were field goals. So, and as we move into a new season, has anybody sort of adjusted their thinking in terms of that age-old, who's the most important 49er? And yes, we're jumping off at a baseline of they're all good. No one's diminishing anyone. And yes, the Niners are a lesser team immediately if any of these top players leave the field. From Brandon to Debo to George to Christian to Brock to Trent to Fred to Nick. And by the way, it could keep going. You know what I mean? We haven't even brought up the likes of Charvarius Ward and you know, Hufanga when he gets back. And there's all kinds of important pieces out there. Ryan in Lafayette here on Willie and Dibby. Hi, Ryan. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good. I just wanted to add a little bit. First of all, answer the question. I think it's Brock Purdy. I think your leader, he's calm in the pocket. He brings a sense of serenity, I almost want to say, to the team. But I think one of the things that some of the people that are not feeling so hot on him to like detract from, he doesn't really play with a lot of excitement, with a lot of wow factor. You know what I mean? I think that people watch him play and boring is not the right word, but just kind of this calm consistency where he doesn't really have a lot of those explosive, oh my God, did you see that moment? But they're just consistently good, and they've been consistently good since he's taken the wheel.
Ryan, just for our frame of reference, give us some quarterbacks who do play with that
when you look at
pizzazz.
You know, you watch Patrick Mahomes make a back behind the back toss to Kelce, you go, your jaw drops. You go, oh my God, do you see that? It's moments like that where it's just something almost crazy. And I think he doesn't make those crazy decisions because he doesn't have to, and he doesn't put himself in crazy situations.
I mean, I totally get the vibe you're putting out there, Ryan. Thank you. But I also like the behind the back passes from Patrick are not what makes Patrick Patrick. Like that happens twice a year, and I don't even know if it's complete, you know, sidearm, round the back, whatever. They're doing the dipsy do or with their huddle or whatever they're doing out there.
Yeah.
And Patrick's just great. I understand the mobility factor. Like Lamar Jackson is really exciting. Josh Allen is really exciting. I don't know if y'all got a chance to watch Jaden Daniels play football last week. It's kind of exciting. Like he doesn't yet.
He's too exciting.
Well, he doesn't yet go through a lot of progressions, but if he does, he is going to be fantastic. Like he's got a real presence about him. And obviously he's very mobile, fast, and sees the field really well. So I get that aspect of it. Here's what's confusing to me, and I'm not here to tell you Brock is some like, oh, wow factor, exciting player to watch, but the whole draftism thing and the conversation surrounding Brock often, to me, leads to people ignoring things that he does do. Like Brock, well, Brock doesn't run. Well, yeah, he does. I like one of the most important first downs of the year. Came in the playoffs last year on a total breakdown scramble. You know, the famous, not this week's Ayuk drop, last year's Ayuk drop.
Sure.
The famous play against Seattle where he absolutely went crazy and then went to one side of the field and then went back to the other side of the field and then on the run delivers a dime in the corner of the end zone. Like, maybe it doesn't happen a lot, but I don't think Brock is just like Jimmy was kind of boring.
For sure.
That, like, 8 throws in the NFC title game?
Will you be hard-pressed to find any quarterback now in the NFL who is, quote, boring? You have guys who are more efficient, and Brock Purdy's very efficient. He doesn't do a lot of things that make you think, oh, my God, this guy is an unbelievably elite athlete. But what he does is make the ordinary play almost every time, and he makes some special plays. And I was watching the Minnesota game from last year back. Brock Purdy made 4 or 5 throws, 15 or 20 yards down the field that were straight rips. A couple to Ayuk, George Kittle heated up in the second half, and the longest run of the game was a Brock Purdy 17-yard scramble that helped them eventually cash in and get points. So you're right about the mobility. When he wants to run, when he needs to run, he's going to do it, and he's going to get the first down.
Was Tom boring?
Tom Brady?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it was boring that they always won.
Yeah.
But, you know, and Tom would just, he would kind of wiggle, wobble back in the pocket, and then the rush would come in, and every single time before they got to him, flip, he would throw some off-speed Greg Maddux fastball right to a guy. And, you know, Gronk for 14 or Moss for 36. Whoever it was, Edelman and all the rest of the little fellas. So maybe he was boring. It was boring that he was always that good.
I don't think it was boring for Patriots fans.
No, sir.
At all.
No, sir. I don't know what quarterback you would look at now in the league and say, I mean,
Is Kirk Cousins boring? I'm just trying to think. Like, I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm with you. Like, I don't get bored watching
football.
NFL. No. Like, but is Kirk Cousins boring? Who else? Daniel Jones is boring, but that's more like frustrating.
Well, yeah, no, like Bryce Young, he's just terrible.
Well, he can't see, that poor kid.
Yeah. Well, who could have seen that coming? You draft a quarterback at 5'10".
No, exactly. But he can't see.
Yeah.
He can't see over the people. I don't know if you know this, but offensive linemen and defensive linemen are gargantuan human beings.
Yeah, Armstead is 6'8", and DeForest Buckner 6'7", just a couple of the alums here.
Bryce Young is, I mean, I don't know how Kyler Murray sort of kind of makes it work, although I'm not even 100% sure that he's good, but he's so dynamic with his legs.
Not boring.
He's not boring, but Bryce Young can't see.
Yeah, well, and who could have seen that coming, Carolina? Just, anyway, for me, there's not boring. It's good or bad. Brock is good. He's a system QB. But that is a big-time compliment. And I would say that to Alex Smith, and I've said it to him before when we've interviewed him, the game manager label, that's a compliment. Because if you're a good game manager, you're managing to win games. And that's what the quarterback is supposed to do.
Let's go to Tom in the city. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, guys. Just want to say, man, I listen to you guys all the time. I just want to shout out you guys. You guys do a great job keeping me entertained on the way home. But I just wanted to say, man, if we're going to talk about stats, then we really need to talk about the interceptions. You know, I used to give Jimmy about 2 or 3 interceptions a game, and that's not really what my expectation is of Brock Purdy. You know, Brock Purdy comes out there and balls. He protects the ball. He moves it down the field, and he does his thing. You know, I always think of it like this. If we're talking about quarterbacks, you know, would Joe Montana be the GOAT without Bill Walsh? You know? Is Jimmy G or Brock Purdy as good as they were without Kyle Shanahan? You know, that's just kind of my 2 cents on it. And what do you guys think?
Yeah, Tom, you're like
100%. Tom,
your questions are leading. I think they're more statements than questions, and I like agree with you. But when you say like, would Joe Montana be the GOAT without Bill? Do it the other way too. Would Bill be the GOAT without Joe?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
You know what I mean? Would Bill Belichick be the GOAT without Tom?
Yeah, that's...
That's a hard no for me. And I think
absolutely.
Bill, I think the world of Bill. But that's what I'm getting at.
Well, there have been other high-level offensive minds who didn't win multiple Super Bowls.
All right. Let's go here then. Let me ask it this way. And it's early because Brock Purdy is not a Super Bowl-winning quarterback yet, and he is only... coming up on what I know it's his third year, but essentially he hasn't even played 2 full years as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Who is the other? Because if Shanahan gets the credit, and we've gotten plenty of you on the Xfinity mobile text line who have sort of answered our question that way, where we go, who's the most important player on the 49ers now? And we're listing players. And everybody's like, dude, you left out the most important one, and it's Kyle Shanahan.
Exactly.
All right. Who's the other great coach in the NFL who won Super Bowls and the quarterback was just along for the ride?
That's interesting. Interesting way to put it. And, you know, you could look at Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford.
Yeah, but that's Matthew Stafford. Like,
right. He was a big numbers guy in Detroit, but he never won until he got to McVay. And I think that was more of a byproduct of an aggressive trade season and free agency where they brought in like what 7 or 8 high priced guys for the year and they won it. So I wouldn't say that Stafford was fully along for the ride, but he had done nothing before he got to McVay.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you'd have to go to the quarterbacks that we always disparage. Brad Johnson, friend of the program.
Right, but those were all
Trent Dilfer.
But those are all considered one offs.
Of course.
Like they happened one time. Like
right.
And obviously that Shanahan at this point, it has happened no times.
Drew Brees got the one with Sean Payton, but I, you know, Drew Brees, again, very good quarterback throughout his career, and then he got Sean Payton and they won.
Right.
So was he dragged along? That seems a little unfair to a guy who's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, those and the other one-offs, the Flacco, the Brad Johnson, the Trent Dilfer, like I'd argue, even though the Niners haven't gotten over the top, you never saw those guys oversee, even the coaches, didn't oversee a 5 to 6 year period where you were dancing around in the Final Four almost every year.
Yeah.
That didn't happen. That didn't happen with Gruden in Tampa Bay.
Nope.
You know, Harbaugh is an interesting one with the Ravens because he's now kind of been around the block. I mean, he's a great coach. He's a great coach. He's been around the block now with multiple different people. But, you know, again, yeah, Flacco, that was a one-timer. Baltimore didn't even want to pay Joe Flacco going into that year.
Yeah.
Where they ended up winning a Super Bowl.
But Harbaugh has one.
He has one.
To your point.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other coaches, it's very few coaches who have danced around it as much as Kyle and not gotten one. Levy's the poster child, of course.
And his quarterback got an absolute truckload of credit, one of the all-time greats. And maybe the closest thing to it right now would be Mike Tomlin, who seems to go to the playoffs every year but doesn't have any good players on offense.
I mean,
so that's incredible in and of itself, but that's like scraping in at a 9-8 wild card. And back when Tomlin did win a Super Bowl, did you hear anybody be like, well, Roethlisberger's just riding on Tomlin's coat? Nobody said that. Like, nobody's ever done that before.
Well, that was his second year as a head coach.
That too.
So
we're just still getting to know him.
Had he gone on to have future success, he might have gotten more of the lion's share of that one than Big Ben does and the rest of the great Steelers that they had. But it's testimony to what one can do for you, because Tomlin won that back in 2008. And here we are 16 years later. And yeah, they go 9-8 every year. They never have a losing record, but they have made a lot of noise since then.
Well, and he's
untouchable.
And here we go again. He's 1-0. He has more wins this year than touchdowns.
That's classic. Yeah. I believe you.
Yeah.
That was a 6 field goal win, right?
It's unbelievable. This is what they do every year. It doesn't matter the scenario. Let's get 2 new quarterbacks. Let's have a bunch of hijinks going on that week. Russell Wilson's our starter. Just kidding. Justin Fields, our starter. We're going to go out and score no touchdowns and cover the spread.
Winner.
It's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. You know, that one, if you wanted to have this conversation in Pittsburgh, I think your answer might be TJ Watt.
Yeah.
Like, who's the most important Steeler?
Probably.
He won that game.
Yeah.
He made Kirk Cousins look hurt.
And that's the way they go about doing it. It's, you know, I wish the San Francisco Giants took that same approach to pitching and defense, but that's one for another day. And I think that the Shanahan identity is so strong that, yes, Brock Purdy is very important, but I do think it's the scheme and the offensive line and what they're able to do to make it so Brock Purdy doesn't have to go out there and carry them. That's why I think Shanahan deserves more credit than maybe anybody else.
Well, by the way, and now our conversation heads sort of like to the next step up on the staircase. That's what one thing I've never understood when Kyle Shanahan has such a hard time with certain media members, with certain portion of the fan base. Kyle Shanahan has such a hard time and takes a lot of criticism, yet I find just as many people have this point that we're talking about right now. And that's why my brain gets yanked out of its head and spills all over the ground. Because it's like, wait a minute. You're going to tell him, Kyle Shanahan is apparently the only coach in the NFL where his team can compete for a Super Bowl without a good quarterback, or without an important quarterback, or without an elite quarterback, or whatever. He can do that. Yet you still find a way to be like, this guy's overrated and a choker.
He's arrogant.
Right. Someone help me understand which it is. Because if Brock Purdy is just a dude, and there is evidence, because Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't even know if he was a dude. You know what I mean? And you still went to a Super Bowl. So if all of that is true, how are we not kissing the ground that Kyle walks on? Nobody else can do that.
I wonder if people have those double views that you were just laying out. If one person believes both those things, Brock Purdy, he's just a system guy, but Kyle Shanahan, he's overrated. Is there one individual that has both of those beliefs?
Probably.
Because those two things run anathema or counter to one another. Because if Brock is just a system guy, then the system is pretty kick-ass because he is, 18-5 as a starter in this system. And if Brock Purdy is amazing and Kyle Shanahan's overrated, then okay, Brock Purdy's doing this despite Kyle Shanahan. That's a hard one for me to navigate both of those parallel beliefs.
Well, it's why I hold, quite frankly, both of them in such high regard, because there is tucked into all of this, the thing that I sort of downplay does have some truth to it. I just want to see it go both ways. And that is to say that two really good people at their jobs have found each other, and that elevates the whole thing to a level that we haven't seen before. And I know that nobody wants to acknowledge that until you win the last game, but I do think that's where we're at. I know that it's Jimmy lost the Super Bowl and Brock lost the Super Bowl, so they're the same thing. If you want to look at it through the lens of the Super Bowl only, go right ahead. That's fine. I don't see it that way. You know what I mean? I was at a party on Monday night, so were you, where you're just looking at this thing going, my God, this and that team's supposed to acquire half of Brandon Ayuk, Christian McCaffrey, and Dre Greenlaw?
Right.
My God. They're overwhelming how good they are.
They're very good.
Overwhelming how good they are.
Unfortunately, it's September and it's not late January, because that's what I think is one of my favorite things about being a football fan is the roller coaster that every team is going to go on. Even Carolina, they're going to probably have a game or two where they win. And boy, we're seeing a bright spot. There'll be brighter days ahead, Carolina.
The coaster is at the kiddie park, but anyway.
No, you're right. But the ups and downs are not going to be as high as with the 49ers, because last year's a good example where you're humming at 5-0, you lose 3 in a row, and it's oh boy, not that we all were giving up, but it was all of a sudden that bubble got burst.
Yeah.
And so,
no, there'll be weekends where we come in here on Monday and be WTF.
For sure.
The hell was that?
And last year against Minnesota was one of those weekends.
Sure.
And it,
for sure.
You know, it was Debo got hurt early and Christian had the oblique issue and Trent didn't play and you looked tired and flat. And your defense, you could tell that something was up because they were not vibing with the coordinator.
You said you went back and watched the whole game?
Today, yeah.
You watched the whole game?
Early drop off at the daycare. Okay. Don't tell the wife.
I think she knows.
Yeah, with the words out.
Yeah,
anyway. That's a story for another day.
Go ahead.
And so I went home. I had time. And so I'm like, you know what? I want to do a little tape. I'm going to run through some tape here, Minnesota. So
you watched the whole thing?
I watched a condensed version, but I watched a good 45 minutes of it.
Okay.
You skip through some, there's a flag and we're going to huddle. And I love the refs as much as anybody, but I saw that show already.
Do you watch that part in slow-mo?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
If I have free time.
Look at him when he does this holding call.
Because you can see that he sees something and then you go to the pocket and you grab the yellow hanky and know you got to throw it up now. Unless you're in the backfield, then you throw it laterally.
So what'd you see?
Oh, yeah.
So what'd you see?
I saw a defense that didn't know what they were doing. And we talk about matching the rush with the secondary. That was a great example of them not doing that. I saw the zero blitz that we all talk about on that the big play at the end of the first half. And Charvarius Ward has a chance to pick it, and he doesn't.
It's more than a chance.
Well, he had his hands on it.
The ball was in his breadbasket.
Might go down as a drop.
Yeah, maybe.
But that play, the zero blitz call, which ultimately led to Steve Wilkes' firing, McCaffrey with a fumble, Brock with a bad giveaway. But in general, I thought the Niners, on balance, were the better team that day. You had a Moody missed field goal. You had a red zone fumble. You had two bad Brock picks. And you still only lost by 5.
Speaking of Moody, and maybe this is because I was in the building, did Kyle say that one of his field goals hit the bar? Did one of his field goals hit the bar on Monday night?
I believe 6. So. Yep.
Yeah, it hit off the upright and then went in still.
The left upright.
No. Really?
Inside left,
because you're sitting there at the stadium from a side view. They all looked fine to me.
Yeah.
God, one of them was that close.
That one would have been to your right and on the upright that was the furthest one away from you.
Yeah, because I just see the kick go up and I sort of look at the fans behind the goalpost to give me an idea. Is it good? Is it wide? Is it in? So one of them nicked the bar?
Yeah, I don't remember which one. But yeah.
That's more of a clang even.
That's scary.
More than a nick. It was a clang.
It was a clang?
It was a clang to the right, like a 45-degree clang.
Did it make that bong sound?
Bong. Totally.
And yeah, maybe Shanahan should have went for it on fourth down. Right?
Well, there he is.
You know.
Make it a B+.
For someone who had Moody outscore Aaron Rodgers by 18 points to win a fantasy game by 0.5 point, I needed every single one of them, Jake Moody's.
Yeah, you did.
I needed all of them.